Good morning. Welcome to our convocation this morning. We have a very special presentation this morning, and we're delighted to welcome back one of our alumni from the Carleton class of 1997. And we'll get started right away by bringing Aparna Ramaswamy up to campus.
I feel a little overdressed. Good morning. As a graduate of Carleton, I am so very honored to be invited to present a convocation performance today. During my time here, I did in fact attend a few combos, but I never imagined that I'd be on this side of the podium. So I wish I had focused and concentrated just a little more so I could have remembered some clever and interesting things to maybe borrow from previous convocation speakers. But in any case, I will continue. This morning I'm here with my dance company, Ragamala Music and Dance Theater, to present a lecture demonstration to introduce you to the performance that we'll be presenting here this evening. I'd like to begin with a very brief introduction to the history and technique of Bharatanatyam, the dance style in which we work. I'll then present a short piece, and that will be followed by Ragamala's founder and artistic director, and my mother, Rani Ramaswamy, who will speak about the performance you will see and also her inspiration for creating it. After that, we'd like to have our collaborator and master artist, Ideva Kutaparata from Bali, Indonesia, to say a few words about his company and the art form that he works in. We will then continue with a short excerpt from the program we'll be presenting tonight. And of course, we'd like to leave some time for questions from all of you. As I mentioned, the dance style that we work in is Bharatanatyam. The word Bharatanatyam comes from four Sanskrit words. Bha comes from bhava, or expression. Ra comes from raga, or melody. Ta comes from thala, or rhythm. And natyam means dance. According to Indian myth, it is believed that the Hindu deity Brahma created dance from the four scriptures, or the Vedas, which were only accessible to the people from higher castes. Dance, considered the fifth scripture, was both audible and visible, and so it was accessible to the masses. In the following years, dance traveled throughout India, absorbing the cultural nuances from each region, and eventually became five distinct classical styles. Bharatanatyam is the style that comes from the southeastern state of Tamil Nadu, and was always performed as part of temple rituals and festivals. And in the 1930s, it was brought into the theaters, where it is now almost exclusively performed. But the roots of Bharatanatyam definitely find itself in spirituality. The technique of Bharatanatyam has two aspects, nritta or abstract dance, and abhinaya or narrative dance. In nritta, a dancer uses her feet like percussion instruments, and with the accompaniment of her entire body, expresses complex rhythmic patterns. And in abhinaya, a dancer, like an actress, uses facial expressions, hand gestures, body movements, and most importantly, emotional sentiment to both tell the narrative while also becoming the characters within the narrative. Traditionally, classical Bharatanatyam is a solo dance form where a dancer presents a two-hour solo concert to showcase her technical virtuosity and her endurance. I will not be performing for 2 hours for you this morning. But I will be presenting a classical solo piece that's entitled Boshambo, in which you'll see both aspects of the dance form. Boshambo praises the Hindu god Shiva as the one who can free us from the ocean-like cycle of birth and rebirth. Shiva is described as the supreme consciousness that is everywhere, all-pervading, and formless. He is the essence of the Hindu scriptures or the Vedas, endless and infinite. Again, we are very happy to be here with you this morning. I am so honored to see many of my professors here, and I hope that you find this morning's program both informative and enjoyable. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Om Namah Shivaya. Mokshambho Shiva Shambho Swayam. Oh.
ततो
everybody. I'm Rani Ramaswamy. I'm the artistic director of Ragamala Music and Dance Theatre and the proud mother of Aparna Ramaswamy. This morning I'm here to give you a short description of the piece that you will be seeing this evening and also the excerpt that will be performed. Three most important words to remember are Setu, which is the title of the piece, in Sanskrit means bridge, Chak, which is the monkey chant, and Ramayana is the Hindu epic that's common to all Asian countries. The inspiration to create this piece came from my first visit to Bali in 1998. I had the opportunity to see a Chak performance. A chorus of about 100 bare-chested men of all ages chanting the chak as they use their arms and bodies in unison. It was a powerful presentation of both voice as well as movement. The chorus sits in a horseshoe-shaped form where the Balinese dancers perform inside this horseshoe shape, performing the story of the Ramayana in the Balinese style. It was a fascinating performance to watch, and usually it's done outside at dusk in front of a temple. I was so inspired and moved by this performance that I wanted to create something in Minneapolis. And I wanted to make this the Ramayana, choreograph it in the Bharatanatyam style, which is both percussive as well as expressive, and to create a chorus from a community, from the Minnesota community. So I approached the Walker Arts Center, and Philip Byther, the performing arts director, was not only interested in commissioning the project, but he also gave me the name of my collaborator, E. Deva Puttubharatha, who is the artistic director of Chudamani. He's here this morning, and he will also talk to you a little bit about his part in this project. Now, so I got a grant from the Arts International in New York to go to Bali again to meet with Ideva and his Chudamani ensemble. And together, and we went and saw more Chak performances and started to shape the project that was going to happen in Minneapolis. Deva visited Minneapolis twice, and he met with our Joko Sutrisno, who is the director of the Javanese IPAM Gamelan that is located in St. Paul, and also Nirmala Rajashekar, who is our South Indian vocalist-composer. He also brought with him three other Balinese artists who worked with a chorus of 30 volunteers to create the Chak chorus. I call this project Setu because Setu is the bridge. It represents the bridge that Rama, one of the heroes of Ramayana, there are a lot of monkeys in this story that help him build a bridge to cross the ocean to go to Sri Lanka to save his wife who was kidnapped by a demon. So the bridge is Setu, but also the bridge that bridges all the different cultures and the different art forms together. So that's why I titled this project Setu. Now, all the artists worked together to meet at a common place where we could still maintain each of our the integrity of the dance styles without losing it, but at the same time we are challenged to meet at a place where we all come together in a very respectful manner. The Walker Art Center helped us build this huge stage in the sculpture garden, and the performance took place on September 11th. 50 artists came together from all backgrounds to celebrate Setu, and we had an audience of over 6,000 people at the Walker. Now, in July of 2006, Ragamala was invited to present Setu at the Bali Arts Festival in Denpasar. So we took, Ragamala took our dancers and musicians and went to Bali, and we spent 2 weeks working with Chudamani to put the show together with artists from Bali, and we performed under a banyan tree at the village of Pongasakan and also at the Denpasar Festival. Last week we performed this it was a dream come true to perform the piece where the original Chak was created and where the inspiration came from. We performed it at the O'Shaughnessy last week. Now we are performing it here. We have had 5 different opportunities to perform it at various settings. And I'm totally excited and happy to perform it at the chapel here because each of these dance forms and music forms that you see today have a spiritual background. They were all performed in temples and other religious, structures. So now this is a most apt stage to perform this piece in this chapel, and I'm looking forward to enjoying this performance, and I hope you will enjoy the performance as much as we enjoy performing it for you. Thank you very much for bringing this piece to Carlton, and hope you'll enjoy this show. And I'm going to invite Ideva Puttubheratta to say a few words about his role in this project. Thank you very much.
Good morning. This morning, I'm very happy to be here in front of all of you. To be honest, I was very nervous now because I cannot speak English. My English is very poor. And I just want to tell you, I come from Bali. My group, Rani was my group. Rani was mentioned before. Chudamani. That is about Balinese performance arts and school. In Chudamani, we teach the kid, a lot of kids, from the 6 years old until wherever they want. And also, we have also adult group, and right now, we already performing around the world, but in Bali we always performing at a pot temple ceremony in Bali almost every Yeah, every week we have, sometimes we have every day, but sometimes every month. But this depends on the ceremony in Bali. Temple ceremony, people ceremony. Now in that project, five of us come here and doing part of chat. Yeah, now chat was famous in the world they call monkey chant. But behind that, chat come from the secret den. The story of chat, I don't know exactly, but a long time ago was a epidemic in the village we call Balabatu in close from my area. Because a lot of people die and sick, and the leader of the village and the priest asked them to fry in the temple. In the time, one girl was trans and dance and ask for the music because they not have a gamelan music instrument. At the time, the ladies was just start singing, and the boys was doing cha. I'm not sure where this the word cha coming, but in Bali we have believe if you know small gecko always on the wall, if you praying and the gecko was have a sound chak 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 like that, this like come true. Yeah, I think we imitate that sound become the chak. After that we always perform for the temple. For that we call the dance sangyang dance. This mean angels dance. Dance with the chak. In 1930s there was a composer and painter from German come to Bali and show the performance and put the story of Ramayana in the time. The part of the two brother of king, monkey, called Subali and Sugriva, fighting, just that scene. Yeah. After that, I think chak famous. Monkey chants, we call monkey chants, but this come from the sacred dance was a sangyang dadari. Now in a chat, later we're gonna show you a part of our project, this first scene, and we five of us gonna do in chat. There was so many pattern of chat, but the basic come from concept was we call Rua Bineda. It's like day, night, yeah. Female, male, good, bad. Always this happen balance. Yeah, right, left, balance the concept. That's why they have we call polos on beat. We call sangsi off beat. This gonna going on in same time, so interlocking. Yeah. And also song behind that, and we add layer like six pattern of a chat going on in one time, in same time. Yeah. Okay, that is I can tell you my word. I don't have enough word, but I love to, if you have time, talk with me for talking about Balinese culture or music, or then I will love to. Yeah. Good morning again.
with Rama's skill that he tells him he should travel to Mithila to try to win the princess Sita's hand. Sita's father Janaka will not allow any man to marry Sita unless he can bend a mighty bow which once belonged to the great god Shiva. Many kings try but fail. Rama not only bends the bow but breaks it in two. Sita and Rama are married. On their way back to Ayodhya, Rama defeats the pride of the sage Parashurama. Several years after this event, Rama's father Dasharatha decides to crown Rama as the king of Ayodhya. On the eve of the coronation, Kaikeyi, Rama's stepmother, reminds the king that he had long ago granted her two wishes that she could claim at any time. Dasharatha asks her to name her desire. She asks that her son Bharata be made king instead of Rama, and that Rama be exiled to the forest for 14 years. Dasharatha falls in a faint, heartbroken from the terrible turn of events. As an obedient son, Rama accepts the banishment, and followed by his dutiful wife Sita and brother Lakshmana, leaves the kingdom to live in the forest. He's met by Guha, a boatman, who with great care takes him across the river Sarayu. Rama and Guha become friends for life. Rama's brother Bharata follows him to the forest and begs him to return to his kingdom as the rightful heir to the throne. Rama tells him that he will abide by his father's wish and remain in exile for 14 years. Bharata takes Rama's sandals to place on the throne and vows not to sit there himself.
Shantatama.
I think we do have just a few minutes for questions. Is that right, Carrie?
Yes, and I've got a microphone. If you want to raise your hand, if you have a question, I'll bring the microphone to you.
And we can direct them to any of our fabulous artists on stage today, so. No questions? Oh.
There's one right there. Okay. Where did you learn to dance, and how old were you?
I started dancing when I was 5. I started with my mother, who is a dancer still with our company and choreographer. And we have a teacher in India. Her name is Ullarmil Valli, and she's really quite an amazing dancer. And she has been our teacher for all these years. So we go back to India every year to study from her. And Carrie already told you when I graduated, so I've been dancing a long time.
One thing that I noticed is that the hands seem to have a lot of expressive meaning, and I'm wondering what some of the hand motions mean, so the thumbs up and all.
Sure, yeah, good question. So in narrative dance, in Bharatanatyam, we have 28 single-handed and 24 double-handed gestures, and in narrative dance, they all have a meaning depending on where they are placed and the expression that goes along with it. And in rhythmic dance, like we just finished now, it is purely ornamental. So this here is the bow. The same gesture can be used when placed here for man. This gesture is beautiful. This is face. This is town. This is moon. So depending on where you put your gestures. So this evening you will see bow, an arrow, demon, woman, king, just to give you a brief example.
While you were at Carleton, did you continue dancing? Did you do any of the dance groups here? How did your Carleton experience maybe shape your dancing as you have it now?
I did dance throughout Carleton, and I am so grateful to all of my professors for those many classes that I was away traveling, for making it possible for me. I danced with my company in Minneapolis, so I didn't dance on campus with any groups, but I would travel to Minneapolis to practice, and we would tour a lot. So my first term at Carleton, I actually missed finals to go to Japan, but I took a lot of them early, as Eleanor might remember, and so it was really a wonderful experience for me because I felt that the professors and students and all of the administration, everyone was so understanding of my schedule, and I think as long as I was responsible in doing my work, you know, it was possible for me to keep dancing. So I felt so lucky to go to school at a place where I could do that, and that's one of the reasons also that I chose Carleton, is that I could still also keep dancing. So I think some of you might know Kim. Who are you, a junior now, Kim, here? I started, yay! And then if you know her, you might also know that she is a wonderful dancer. And Kim has been studying with me since she was 8. So she used to come to our studio in Burnsville and study dance when I was in high school and when I went to Carleton. And so I'm very, very proud that she is now also at Carleton. My major was political science, or international relations, actually.
This was truly wonderful. I'd just like to comment, and if you have a comment on the casting, which is, it's sort of astonishing that to me that you can incorporate so many different kinds of people in a piece like this that is so grounded in its Asian heritage. So I don't know if you have anything to say about it, but I wanted to say that.
Well, the dancers are all from various backgrounds. Actually, Aparna and I are the only Indian people who do Bharatanatyam in this company because, you know, Tamara is part Cuban and Jewish, and we have Shelley, who is from Minnesota, and we have Sarah, who looks 100% Indian. She was born in India, but she was adopted as a young child, and she has never been to India. Amanda, who's from Iowa, she was adopted from Korea, and she lived in Iowa for a long time, and she's going to school here. So I take great pride. It moves me a lot to see how much they are interested to learn Indian dance, because there's a theory that you can only do Indian dance if you're an Indian. You know, you can't emote if you're not, if you don't understand the language or the stories behind it. All of them have traveled to India. They eat Indian food with their fingers. And they are so dedicated. I think once you are dedicated, it doesn't really matter what your background is. You can do anything you want. And also our chakras come from various backgrounds. So that's why it's such a fascinating experience for us to sit here. Joko is from Java, Deva is from Bali, I'm from India, and we have many of us here from various backgrounds coming together because of their interest in presenting this work and just being together to learn the art form, the culture, and so on. So I think that's the most important thing. How much are you interested to do this? And then once that is there, it becomes very, very easy.
Tonight's performance begins at 7 o'clock, and the doors open at 6:30, and that concludes our convocation for today. Thank you.
Thank you very much.